Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, when you left me for another girl, you know you broke my heart and shattered my whole world. We had a love I thought was true. Can't you see, baby, I'm lost without you? 'Cause all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your dick on the internet. All I can do is sit and cry. Now all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your tiny dick on the internet. All I can do is sit and cry. All I can do is cry. The house is so empty since you've gone away, but last night I found the tux you wore on Valentine's Day. I hugged it tight, it smelled like you. Then I photoshopped the tux onto a picture of your dick. 'Cause all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your fancy dick on the internet. All I can do is sit and cry. Now all I can do is lay around and add a speech bubble that says, "Cheerio, I'm Tim's tiny dick all the way to a party. Pip, pip." All I can do is sit and cry. All I can do is, I saw you on the street the other day. Good. And you said, "Stop posting pictures of my dick on the internet, you crazy person. I will sue you for invasion of privacy, you fucking insane bitch." Now all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your dick around your neighborhood like it's a lost puppy. All I can do is sit and cry. Now all I can do is lay around and write love to the name Tim's tiny dick. All I can do is cry.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Zygote My Radio. Tonight we have a great show set up for you. Really interesting subject matter concerning open relationships and polyamory, swinging, role play in the bedroom. And, you know, are these things healthy? You know, a healthy solution for spicing up a marriage or a relationship? Or are these things potential seeds for destruction of a relationship? And somehow we'll throw in, you know, the effect of facial hair on both men and women, and what kind of effect, negative or positive, that might have on a relationship as well. And we got lots of other subjects and topics to discuss tonight. But first of all, I'd like to say hello to my special guest tonight, who is Mr. Michael Grover. He will be our special guest guest host tonight. He'll discuss a few little upcoming projects, and then he'll join in on the conversation of all the fun topics we have set for tonight, especially with the whole, you know, creative role play and all that good stuff and all that good sex stuff. You know, always it always leads back to internet porn at one point or another, right? Aren't we all addicted? But anyhow, so I would like to play a little clip here of our special guest host tonight, Mr. Michael Grover, reading a poem called "Shotgun Does the Trick," which will be the title of an upcoming full-length poetry book he has slated for Tainted Coffee Press in 2013. And here's Mr. Michael Grover reading "Shotgun Does the Trick."
Thank you. I'm going. All right, this poem was recently published on the site of Grit's website, ruralmessengerpress.com. It's called "A Shotgun Does the Trick."
I am dying of lack of motion, stagnation. Out there in cities there is movement and inspiration. Not here. The local art gallery down the street votes Republican. And if you want to clear the room out, read a poem. They're taking down art because the artist manipulated the American flag. I want to manipulate corporate flags, my poems, burning them and weaving them back again with words, and we will be a sovereign poetic nation. And maybe I'm just dreaming, but I still believe in dreams. Nice guys finish last, and I'm a guinea pig to that theory, a living example in the flesh, but I persist. Middle finger in the air to Darwinistic systems. Don't swim with the sharks, don't have the ambition. Today I was watching another documentary about another writer that allegedly shot himself in the head with a shotgun. They upheld mainstream views, ignored conspiracies. To them, he chose his time to go. Let his brain see the light of day. And I guess a shotgun does do the trick. But I'm thinking, even if he did pull the trigger with his toe, which I doubt, but ignore my own biases, at least he had the dignity not to go out like this. A slow crawl to the grave.
Right fucking on. That was Michael Grover reading Shotgun Does the Trick. All right, I'd like to welcome on all my co-hosts here, Mr. Michael D. Gosinski and Misty Rainwater Lights. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hola.
Hola, hey. All right, we're going to bring on Mr. Michael Grover here and grill him a little bit and get him involved in all this fun subject matter we have to discuss tonight. We've got a lot of stuff here going on. Mr. Michael Grover, are you there, buddy?
What's up?
Hey.
Hey, what's
so
up?
What's the latest, man? What kind of projects you got going on here in this whole small press mess?
Projects? I got a chapbook I'm working on.
Uh-huh.
A chapbook of love poems. Very sensitive love poems.
Oh, yeah?
Because you know I'm a sensitive guy.
Of course you are. Yeah. So love poems. Huh? What exactly inspired these love poems?
Girls.
Girls. What kind of girls?
What's it called?
I'm gonna have a manifesto. I'm gonna have a problem with. Then the girls.
So do you have Okay, let's try to integrate that chat that you're working on, the love poems, with the subject matter that we have.
Subject matter?
Yeah, the subject matter we have on tap
Brian,
tonight.
Brian PJ, I just want to say I, like, woke up on your couch. I was being violated by a blow-up dolphin and a cat.
Yeah.
Was it the cat that sharts everywhere?
Yes, it is. You're right. Yes, Michael, you are.
Oh,
yeah, that little orange one. Yeah, you're right.
So you had stat from the cat and a dolphin. Oh my god.
Oh my god. It was horrifying. And it was all caught on video.
Yeah. Not only was it caught on video, I'm sure Michelle McDonald has some excellent video footage of that. Even. To the point of us sneaking up on you while you were trying to sleep.
I know she's blackmailing you with it.
Blackmailing? Yeah, that's possible. But also, you know, the fun thing was the whole thing was broadcast live on Ustream, too, and it's still available for people to see, which I should probably rebroadcast that whole link. But
you can, like, watch me sleep.
Yeah, watching you sleep while you're being filleted by an inflatable dolphin. Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's pretty hot. Pretty hot. So, well, you know, I'm glad you joined us tonight on such short notice. Man, you know, that's solid, and I really appreciate it. So let's move forward here. So facial hair. Have you found your facial hair to either enhance or, you know, maybe negate your whole relationships with women and the writing of love poems?
Facial hair? Doesn't really get in the way.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Sometimes if you go down on someone, it gets a little moist, but...
Yeah, and then you can smell it afterwards, right?
Oh, yeah, you save it for later.
Yeah, it's real nice. You can walk around sniffing it, you know.
So, Michael, while writing these love poems, you still really haven't elaborated on what exactly inspired. You say girls or women, I mean, but what exactly inspired these love poems? Can you elaborate a little bit? I mean,
what exactly?
Well, I mean, as far as like, was it like?
Yeah, is it heartbreak? Is it anal sex?
Yeah,
what is it?
I don't think there's any anal stuff in there, but.
What kind of relationship? I mean, have you been in? Yeah, have you been in like?
I've been in
some
pretty crazy relationships, sir.
Right. Okay. Here we go. That's the subject matter tonight. You know, relationships.
All right.
You know.
Relationship.
Yeah. There's so many. There's such a wide variety of relationships and.
Well,
married
you were telling me about swinging. I thought we were like going to talk about the playground or something.
You see me on a swing right now, and you're going to see me vomiting. I can barely handle, going like doing like two somersaults or something, without puking anymore. That part of my life is over, man. I have no constitution whatsoever when it comes to like twirling around or playing on a swing or a teeter totter, but. No, that's not exactly the kind of swinging we're going to elaborate on here tonight. But so, regarding your relationships, have you ever been in? I mean, you say you've been in some crazy relationships. Can you? What type of relationships have you been in? I mean, what inspired these poems? I mean, you say they're love poems. Is it true love? Are they lust poems? Or is it a little mix of both?
I think it was a little mix of both. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
To me, love's kind of a con. It's like one person conning the other person.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it's always been. So yeah, I don't know if it would be right to exactly call them love poems, but I don't know.
Do you have a title for this yet, or you have a working title?
Yeah, I have a working title. It's called Love Poems for Broken Women.
Oh, okay. Not bad. Bad at all. So anyhow, as everyone knows, I fucking hate poetry and poets. So we're done talking about poetry now. we're ready to get we're ready to get down to the meat and grinding and all that good stuff here.
You always want to grind the meat, Brian.
So anyhow, hey Misty, how you doing?
I just woke up from this nap. I feel brain damaged. I'm coasting on fumes. Not enough sleep. Today was hellacious. I think Jackson to the doctor, and he got two shots, and Michael had to physically restrain him. He had to hold him down. He was fighting the doctor tooth and nail, and
Oh my!
Somebody help me! It was
awful. Oh my! Yeah, I've been through that. I had to take my kids to the dentist today, both my kids. So, but you know what? Actually, it turned out really nice. Both of them did really good for the dentist and all that, and laid still, got their teeth clean. I was surprised. I was expecting the same type of extreme drama too, and it didn't happen. So, of course, they didn't have to get any shots. So that makes a difference. But hey, that's great news. You're running on fumes. And you feel a little brain damaged. I mean, that's the perfect state of mind to be in while co-hosting this show.
That's because anything you say, Brian will keep and use against you.
Blackmail you.
I don't blackmail anybody. I just exploit them.
I blackmail myself every day at YouTube and various places. So
exactly. You can't blackmail or exploit the Misty Rainwater Light. She's she's got the whole thing going on herself.
There is that.
Besides, I finally broke down and did the whole karaoke singing thing with Mr. Michael Grover a couple weeks ago. So
Yeah, I want to see Hickory Dickory Dock on YouTube. I cracked up when I read that.
You know what? I tried to get some people to record that for me, and they didn't get it in time. It was probably my most brilliant performance ever, actually. And
I actually witnessed that performance.
The best part was coming back to the table and seeing my wife in tears from laughing so hard. I mean, literally, tears were streaming down her face. She was laughing so hard. You know, here's the ironic thing is the woman who's in charge of the karaoke there at Murray's Bar, she, once I put in my request, she came back to the table like a few minutes later and she seemed in a panic. She was like, "You do realize this is not the Andrew Dice Clay version, right? This is just a kid's version of Hickory Dickory Dock." I was like, "Yeah." So, like, okay. Well, it's like she was really trying to discourage me not to do it because she was afraid, I think, other drunken people in the bar, I think, might have been offended or pissed off and beat me up or something. I don't know. And it might have, like, hurt her reputation. But I went up. I did it.
There were pretty rough-looking rednecks in that place.
Yeah. They all coming in there with their college football jerseys on and standing around doing shots. Yeah. But it went off without a hitch. And it was a brilliant performance. And, I'm very disappointed it was not documented. But anyhow, we're not here to talk about karaoke. We're here to talk about open relationships, and, you know, all the different variations and whatnot. And, you know, somehow I feel like it's all going to stream right back to internet porn. But anyhow.
It always does.
It does. Oh, in so many ways.
We'll be there later anyway.
What's that?
We'll be there later anyway.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. Oh, yeah, I'd also like to mention just real quickly, coming up here in November, we've got a couple of really cool kick-ass readings coming up in New Mexico. I wish each and every one of you could be there with me. I know it's not that easy. But, yeah, November 3rd, we've got Happy Fucking Endings, sponsored by, you know, the Literary Underground and Zygote My Coffee. And we've got a great list of readers. Frankie Metro, Lindsay Thomas, Bill Gaynor, John Swain, William Seward Bonney, Kenneth P. Gurney, Paul Corman Roberts, Rion and Thorne, Zarina Zabriskie, Ryder Collins, Annie McMillan, Steve Goldberg, Ryan Snellman, and Lynn Alexander, and I'll probably go up there and do something stupid too, since I'm, you know, the MC.
You know, wear your diaper?
Oh, I'll have a whole.
Was that you wore, was that one of those new silhouette diapers so you can't see the diaper line?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was, you know, this is what pains me is that was actually a generic brand of adult diaper that I got from Michelle McDonald for my 40th birthday. She couldn't pony up enough to give me like a real like name brand type. So
what
she
are, what
this,
are
like,
you like? All of a sudden, you're a connoisseur of diapers. You know, what is, would you know the difference between a name brand and the cheap brand? I mean, is there chafing?
There's definitely some chafing and a lot of excessive sweating.
Michelle McDaniel gave you one of her diapers.
Oh, she sent me a whole bag full of them for my 40th birthday. So
were they used?
No, they weren't used. But that would have been pretty nice, huh? So.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you guys, you're a bunch of fuckers. I love you. Okay, so let's get on to our subject matter here. And everyone seems to be like kind of skirting the whole issue. Like, is everyone afraid to talk about it, or
we're being coy?
Well, I am a doctor.
All right. Let's talk about relationships, guys. Okay. Right. You know, everyone's been in one, I'm sure, at this point in their life. We're all, what, 30, late 30-something, 40-something here. And, well, except for Mr. Gosinski, you're a youngster, aren't you? You're just 30, aren't you?
I just turned 30, and my belly it's horrible.
Snot-nosed
horrible.
Rat.
I have to walk every day to try to fight my metabolism. And
young bucks,
man. Oh, man, I wish I could be 30 again. So anyhow, relationships, we've all been in them, right? Okay? We've either been married or in, you know, relationships. And you know, there comes a time, I think, in every relationship when that whole part of the relationship, the infatuation stage wears off, especially after, you know, probably, what, a year or so? The infatuation stage kind of tapers off, and, you know, you get to a point, and then, you know, about a year or two later, the sex, you know, might not be as great or whatnot and all that, or not necessarily not great, but, you know, it needs a little spice. So, I don't know. What?
Throwing some cayenne pepper?
No, goddammit. What I'm thinking is here, I know, especially long-term relationships, I guess I should elaborate, you know. Long-term relationships, you get to a point where you want to explore and move forward, I think, with that aspect of your life, the sexual aspect. And I was just wondering, you know, like, there's so many different types of relationships. I mean, you guys are familiar with polyamory, correct?
Right.
Where... Right, right, and I find that fascinating that...
Polly?
Yeah, polyamory, you know, where...
I don't know her. Is she on Facebook?
No,
I thought it was that stuff you use to coat wood, to seal in the color on wood, polyamory, and that would have...
Yeah,
see, you guys are pussyfooting around the whole issue here. You guys are... No, but seriously.
But see, we're sensitive guys. We write love poems and we do those things. We're sensitive, Ryan. Unlike you.
Obviously, you guys are sensitive.
We don't want to talk about hips and sex and role playing and swinging and.
Well, here's the thing.
See, I get the role playing out of the way the first night. You know, I pretend to be a nice guy. That's my role playing. That's it.
Okay, if you guys are okay, it sounds like you're comfortable starting off with the whole role playing. Within the bedroom, I'm sure everybody has done it at some point in the relationship. It's almost inevitable. Okay, I think we've all done it. We all like to do it, and let's just be honest and admit it spices things up at times. Does it not? Right, right. So, at what point you okay, Michael? You Gosinski, we got two Michaels on here, so I'm gonna call one Mike G. Oh, wait, you're both Mike G.
Yeah, we're both
I'm going to call Grover. I'm going to call you Grover, okay? That'll make it much easier. Grover and then Michael. All righty. So anyhow.
Dr. Grover.
Dr. Grover. That's right. Here's my question. Okay. Role-playing in the bedroom. At what point does that start in a relationship? And where do you go with it? And does it enhance things? And is that enough to sustain, you know, that sexual spark? Or have any of you guys ever felt the need to move forward and try something even more radical? Who wants to answer that first? Misty, even? Yeah, I'm sure Misty.
Usually the first date is a good time to introduce role play into a relationship.
You think so? The first date? Are you serious?
I'm just giving two examples in my own life where that was the case. The spice things up on the first date, yeah, two different times.
Are you serious?
I'm debating if I should go into details. I'm not sure. I'm hesitant to go into details.
No, we're all about details here tonight, guys. We're being candid and explicit. You don't have to name names.
Well,
you can make up.
My thing is calling the guy daddy and begging him to spank my ass. That's what I enjoy, or have enjoyed a number of times.
Correct. So. Okay. Wow. Huh. I say correct as if I was there.
We're there, weren't you?
Okay.
Oh,
that was a little inappropriate. I apologize. I didn't mean to say correct. I'm used to saying that to my kids instead of saying right, because when I'm trying to teach them between the difference between left and right, I say correct, because if I say right, they think I'm talking about the right hand or whatever. But anyhow... So, yeah, so, wow, you know, I find that fascinating that you, on some of your first or early dates that you actually went forth and went that far.
We had been friends. We met in the small press, and we had been friends for years, and just, you know, platonic friends.
Mm-hmm.
I was married to my second husband, and then I write about it in Bullshit Rodeo. That's when I went to California for a week, and we kind of hooked up, and that's when the spanking came into play.
Oh, okay. So you guys were already familiar with each other to quite an extent.
Yeah, it wasn't really a first date. I was just kind of funny.
That
we had known each other for years.
Okay, that changes it a little bit. I mean, I could see all kinds of, you know, flirting and stuff like that or whatnot going on way beforehand.
Yeah,
yeah, so you're comfortable with each other. So you see, that's what I was baffled by, the whole fact that you could do that with somebody that you're virtual strangers with. That I couldn't imagine that. I think I personally would have to feel comfortable with the partner or the person before I could start talking, you know, role play, like, so immediately. It just seems like early on you're trying to just, if you're trying to get, you know, acclimated to each other, I guess, in a relationship, I couldn't see just suddenly just, oh, yeah, I'll spank my ass, stick your pinky
up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See, but
I couldn't imagine,
you know, for me,
doing that
never,
anyway, Brian.
Nobody ever takes me seriously. No one ever takes me seriously. I can't, you know, I just, they always laugh at me if I try to do some role play, you know. When I do come in as a pirate, you know, I mean, they're going to, I'm here to get the booty, you know, they're going to laugh at me, man. It's, you know, so.
So, okay, Mr. Michael Gosensky, at what point are you comfortable with the role play, and has it enhanced relationships, or has it, like, been a detriment, or have you taken
it hasn't done shit but caused her to laugh, and I lose my heart on in the process, I'm telling you.
Seriously? What?
It's just like every time, you know, you try to spice it up with a little bit of role play, they just wind up laughing because they think I'm joking.
So you get off on being
a pirate. I don't, like, dress up or anything. I don't, you know, I don't dress up or wear, you know, anything special.
Well, that's a whole other aspect. Have you ever used props? I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have used props to a certain degree. And I mean, I have. I've used props many times. I mean, gosh, yeah. But
the time that comes to my in California, it's a real big thing. These women go to these sex toy parties and shit.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like candle party, you know. They come back with all this garbage. It's ridiculous. But there was one time my ex-wife, she bought this thing that was just, it's like a vibrating dolphin cock ring thing. And she convinced me to wear this thing, and it vibrates, and it's supposed to stimulate. And man, that thing tickled so fucking much. I don't know. The prop thing didn't work out.
Well, see, that's not so much a prop as it is a sexual enhancement device,
yeah,
I guess.
I mean,
I guess I mean more like, you know, dressing up like a nurse or a teacher.
Like a
blindfold. Or,
that would be a prop.
A
that would be a costume.
A riding crop.
A riding crop.
That would be a costume, not a prop. I mean, a prop would be like a bullwhip or something.
So Missy, you've used riding crops in some.
No,
your...
no.
Oh,
just,
no.
They use their hands, actually.
Okay, you prefer the hand over the riding crop?
Well, I've never tried the crop. It'd probably be too hardcore.
Yeah, I think it would hurt a little too much. I mean, I've been there. I've been, you know, I'm gonna be honest. I've been spanked.
Ooh.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's a whole, you know, getting sexually stimulated and a little bit of pain at the same time. It's the whole contrapuntal, like, you know, you got the pain and the pleasure all, you know, kind of at the same time. And sometimes it can enhance the whole experience. I can see that, definitely.
When you were spanked, did you call him Daddy or what? Or did you just call him Mr. Sandusky? I mean.
Oh, you had to go there, did you? Oh, yeah, back when I was a running back at Penn State, yeah, back in my glory days.
I thought you were
just, they were just forcing around in the shower.
I thought you were just a towel boy in your glory hole days.
Damn it, come on, I like to embellish the story to make it sound like I was a running back instead of a towel boy. Come on, cut me some slack.
Well, we know you were a bareback, but that's about all we know.
Bareback. Oh, boy, yeah.
All right, back to topic.
Right. Okay, so here's another thing. I mean, all right, we've talked about role-playing here, okay? That's fine. Well, except for Grover. Wait a second. Mr. Grover.
Yeah,
we really haven't.
Grover skated out on that.
Role-play, have you, you're obviously in the midst of writing this very intense set of poems about, you know, love poems, which you already admitted has something to do with relationships. So obviously you've been in enough relationships and had enough encounters that I'm sure you've had some, you know, really good sexual experiences where at some point you had to have had role play involved. Yes or no? Ever?
Role play?
Yeah, I don't mean like Dungeons and Dragons, like or Magic the Gathering. I'm talking in the bedroom.
Like a dolphin trainer at SeaWorld.
Oh, hey. Did you ever dress up? Dress up as like Oscar the Grouch or something? An Oompa Loompa?
No. Ever dressed up to have sex? No.
What's that?
So I've never dressed up to have sex, no.
No?
See, he's traditional. He's a sensitive guy.
He is. I mean, the poor guy got flayed by an inflatable dolphin live on Ustream, so.
And your cat.
See, that didn't get recorded. The cat thing didn't get recorded. Actually, and I'm kind of glad it didn't, but Michelle McDonald has it, and it's like, it's like me standing there holding the little orange cat and, like, dry humping it over. While he's sound asleep.
She's blackmailing me with the video.
What's that?
I didn't know
Michelle was videotaping that, so. But I know she has it. So hopefully she just keeps it to herself. But anyhow. All right, so, you know, I'm grilling all you guys about role play and all this good stuff, but I really haven't mentioned any of mine, right?
Right. Oh, do tell.
Do tell. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I'm the one that brought up the whole subject. Obviously, I have a mind full of sort of details here. yeah, I found it to be an enhancement in a relationship. I don't think I've ever tried it, like, on an early date. Never crossed my mind. Like I said, those early dates or those early encounters are a little too awkward already within themselves to bring up something, you know, something that sensitive as role play. But, yeah, oh, my gosh. Let's see. I could go through the whole gamut of different things I've tried. You know, I've been the pizza boy, pizza delivery boy. We've tried that. And I'm not talking about my current relationship. This is relationships from, like, I'd say from 18 on. Let's see. Doctor, of course, we've all played doctor, right? Come on. Nobody's even mentioned doctor.
I'm a doctor.
Know? What's that?
Yeah, but
I am a doctor. I'm role-playing right now.
Are you, Mr. Grover? You're Do you have a webcam, Mr. Grover, so we can see you? Playing doctor right now as you role play. Oh my! But seriously, you see, I've done the whole doctor thing, the pizza delivery boy thing. Oh my gosh! Oh yeah, there's been many times where I pretend to be a celebrity for her, for the female, a male celebrity of her choice, or vice versa. Oh, I remember an old girlfriend where I kept making her pretend to be Madonna. Back in the early 90s, I had this huge crush on Madonna when she was in her prime. She's still attractive for me.
Lucky star face?
What's that?
The lucky star face?
Lucky star face?
The lucky star video.
Oh, lucky star? No, I like Madonna a little bit more, like... during the early 90s, like Respect Yourself. Remember that video?
I don't know. I remember being a kid and traumatized when I saw her Playboy because she had like hairy armpits in it and stuff.
Oh yeah, that was neat. That was in what, the late 80s? Was that late 80s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
it was the late 80s.
Hairy armpits.
Yeah, I was flipping through, and I went, oh, my God, you know, I was a little kid, you know. I thought I had a Spank magazine. It was just, it was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah? Huh. Okay.
So, like, and sharing your Madonna fantasy.
Okay, well, yeah, it was a fantasy. So, yeah, like I said, I found it to be an enhancement, and, but, I don't know. I'm sure other people have found, like, a mate or partner or whatnot who likes to do the whole role-playing, and they find it kind of offensive and almost, like, as if cheating. And I don't see that. I don't see that at all. But other people, I guess, can get offended and think, oh, my gosh, you know, that's they're not really into me. And I don't believe that.
It's Bewitched episode where Samantha got this wig and it really turned Darren on, and that caused a rift in the relationship because she was like, well, is he turned on by me or the wig? And so
I think I kind of remember that. Wow, that episode. Yeah, I can see that. And I find that baffling, but I think there's other people who aren't as open, and I think that's the problem, being open. I think you need to be, and that was one of our things, open relationships. And not necessarily by open relationships, I don't necessarily mean like you guys just separate and go off and screw whoever you want and just do what you want, but I mean being open as in communicating, I think, which is important and essential in a relationship to make it work. I think communication is very essential, and you need to communicate your desires or your needs and your wants and feel comfortable with it. If you're in a relationship where you're not comfortable talking about something like that, I think it can get destructive. Do you guys agree, disagree?
You sound like you're the doctor, Brian.
Well,
you're
I did.
Expert on this subject.
I did take Psychology 105 and 110 back in my college years, but no, I'm being serious. I think this stuff's interesting and important, and that's why I wanted to do a show about it. But I hope I'm not intimidating you all with it.
No intimidation.
I need to charge my phone. My phone's dying. Just a second.
Okay.
No, you've got to communicate. That's absolutely, you've got to talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll take a quick break here. Let everyone go pee and stuff. And while we do that, we'll listen to Michael Grover do some more of his poetry reading from Tainted Cleveland Reading back in 2008. Here we go.
Let us agree, we will never see the end of war. This gives us reason to always pray for peace. And the poets and the people shall pray eternally, sending out prayers into the void like poems. And sadly, there will always be pirates with huge egos playing chicken with Armageddon, or the fear of it at least, wartime anxiety. And the one in the big white house has a poet laureate lapdog, a court jester. That's not that entertaining. I don't even know who the poet laureate is right now, but I know they don't represent me.
Yeah!
And from Iraq, our soldiers come back in caskets. They broadcast their names with the national anthem. They are given heroes' names as they've eliminated the nameless. These names will never cross your screen or lips. Death has served over 1 million, and it's still serving. Media echoes corporate anthems, feel-good stories, tugging at the heartstrings, going with the gladiators into the Colosseums, into your living room in high definition, and me with the knowledge that this is all impermanent. These tyrants and their empires always fall down.
Yeah.
Even hell will have its day. My only question to the balance of this world is, why does it seem when these tyrants and their egos collide, poor people always suffer? The poor American kids that found the only job they could, promised a future and fed a noble cause. The nameless Iraqi was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. True, we will never see the end of war. This always gives us peace to work for. But what do these tyrants lose?
One lost his life, but he got it quick by hanging. Even if people did heckle him as he walked into the gallows, the other steals elections, making billions on other people's suffering, people that are less than him.
All right. Excuse me, we're back. All right. So, we're going to continue on. Pardon me?
That was a very old poem.
That was from a long time ago. Back onto our subject here tonight, open relationships, polyamory, swinging, role play in the bedroom. And, you know, are these healthy healthy solutions for spicing up a marriage or a relationship, or, you know, are they potential seeds for destruction? I mean, who knows? That's just something I'm trying to kind of elaborate on and explore here tonight with my fine panel of co-hosts here. So let's continue on. All right, everybody.
Well, fine. Has it worked for you in the past?
What's that? Well, of course, yeah. That's something I was talking about. It has, and I think almost every relationship I've been in.
Do you feel like it helped the relationship?
What's that?
Do you feel like it helped the relationship?
Do I feel like it helped my relationship?
Yeah.
Or enhance it? Yeah, I think it has. I think in every relationship, you get to a point where you need to try something a little different, or you want to explore, or you want to experiment. But I think some people are too afraid to broach that subject with their partner. And I think that's the barrier I'm trying to reach out and tell people that, you know what, you need to be able to communicate and you need to be able to explore those fantasies and try new and different things to keep it interesting and fun. And, yeah, it has enhanced, I think, every single relationship, long-term relationship I've been in. I've tried all kinds of them, all kinds of things. You know, and there's been times. Okay, go ahead.
So we got the role playing. Has anybody done swinging? I mean, not like sitting at a playground offering candy to kids.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, and I was working up to that. And that's the thing. I think, you know, you get to a point in a relationship or whatnot where you want to feel or you do feel very comfortable with your partner. And and you want to be able to, like I said, openly communicate about your likes, your dislikes sexually or whatnot, and you want maybe to explore. And I think to a degree, talking to your partner about wanting to explore this stuff and promising each other that, you know, I'm never going to just walk out and cheat on you behind your back. I think it's important if the partners discuss, okay, hey, you know what, if I'm really interested in a certain person or I want to try something or someone different, you and I, we're going to talk about it and we're going to go try it. And that's where, you know, and that starts off as role-playing. Here's the thing. I think role-playing
the closest
is
I've come to that with boyfriends and with husbands is going into a topless bar or an all-nude bar and, you know, watching him get a lap dance or sharing the lap dance. That's the closest I've come to actual swinging where you plan it out, you talk about it.
Right. And that's a transition, too. It starts off, I think, and it has for me, in some of my relationships, is starts off as the role-playing. You in the bedroom, privately, you guys talk about your fantasies and what you want to do and what arouses you, what you find exciting, and then you pretend, you role-play. Pretend, say, you know, it's you and your spouse and, say, another guy or another girl, and you pretend that someone else is there, and maybe you use some sort of sexual enhancement such as a dildo and pretend like it's a totally foreign dick, a different guy, as, you know, as maybe perhaps she will, like, fellate you while she is bouncing upon a dildo. Just stuff like that. These are just some... some minor samples of things that I have, you know, I have tried, and they have worked. And it kind of it builds up that fantasy, it builds up that confidence, and then I think eventually you get to a point where you move forward, and it's like, yeah, I'm comfortable. Let's do this, but let's try it in the real sense. And of course, then probably from there it would go to, like you said, Misty, going to a strip club, for instance, and seeing your partner get a lap dance. You know, I've done that with, you know, my partner, watched her get a lap dance by another girl, and then she watching me get one. And, you know, you come home, you see that there, you get aroused, you get all worked up, come home and act out and play on it. And, you know, to me, I think that's normal and that's healthy. That way you're not cheating on each other. You're not, you don't feel the desire to go out and seek someone new or someone else.
That's not the same as swinging, you know.
Well, I'm getting to that. All right, yeah. So I'm building up
like
to that.
The key party they had in the 70s, like in that movie The Ice Age, where they go to the key party. I was always fascinated by that.
Oh, yes. That's a perfect example. It was the Ice Storm, not Ice Age.
No, I'm thinking of a Disney Pixar movie where Jackson went to McDonald's and he was pissed because he wanted a Power Ranger toy at his Happy Meal, and he got an Ice Age and he threw it into the floorboard. He hates the Ice Age.
The Ice Storm, yes, that was an excellent movie. I love that movie. Yeah, I was a little confused there. Ice Age, wait a second.
I don't know what the hell your kids are watching, Jesus.
But yeah, that are you guys familiar with what Misty's referring to? The Ice Storm, directed by Ang Lee, excellent movie. And there's a scene there around the end of the film where, and this is back in the like late 70s or whatnot, where they had a key party. Do you guys know what a key party is? I know Misty does, but Grover,
yeah.
Michael?
Well, elaborate for me. I'm not hip to these things.
See, you're blowing smoke up my ass.
It.
You're blowing smoke up my ass here, Gosinski. I think you know what a key party is.
No, not me. I don't know. I'm a sensitive guy. I write love poems, damn it.
But no, well, yeah, a key party, back in the 70s, I guess, it was a big thing where people get together, have a party, drink, you know, get high, have fun, and everyone takes their keys, their car keys, and plunks them into a big bowl. And then, like, the spouses, say the women, all the women there, will pluck the keys out of the bowl, and whoever's car keys they get, they will hook up with that male and have sexual intercourse. And that's kind of like a, you know, a whole swinging thing. That was kind of a fun, I guess, way of putting it or whatnot. But, that scene, I thought that was... What? Go ahead.
No,
so what?
So Tea Party movie. So what does this have to do with us?
What does it have to do with you? I don't know.
Yeah,
I was just trying to explain to you what a key party was.
That, we
do what?
Are we going to make a Zygote Tea Party movie or something? I mean, really, you know.
Well, you know, that's an excellent idea. But the show is not really about Zygote My Coffee or Small Press Poetry. It's about the subject matter that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, so.
Just seems like, to me, Mr. Gosinski, you're pussyfooting around the subject matter and pretending to be ignorant of the subject we're talking about.
I am damn ignorant, okay? I am damn ignorant.
You are not. Come on. You're 30.
I'm part of the 47%, man. I want my hand out. What are you talking about? I'm ignorant. But go ahead, Brian. Go ahead. You're doing well. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. God damn it. I feel like I'm pulling teeth at this point. No, but...
Well, if you could pull teeth, you wouldn't have to go to the dentist with your kids today.
True. But I can pull teeth. You don't have to have, like, a degree to pull teeth.
Yeah, you just need a pair of pliers.
A couple of years ago, I went to Craigslist and found this Canadian publisher, and they paid me $200 to write 10 straight porn stories. Well, they said that they really wanted me to write man-on-man and swinger porn.
Hmm.
And so I thought, you know, I can't write erotica, like, on the east end, that kind of stuff. I can't write, like, a woman, like, real feminine. I write more masculine. So I thought, I'm going to just have fun with this. And so I made the stories comedic. They're high comedy. And so I thought I would read a little excerpt from this one called Neighborly Love about this couple that moves into this neighborhood, and they swing with their neighbors across the street.
See, excellent. See, this is exactly what I'm talking about here. Okay. Great. Go for it.
Okay. Let's see. You aren't wearing any panties. You want me to eat your pussy. I want to eat your pussy. I don't see a dilemma, Tate said. Lee laughed. She closed her eyes and spread her legs. Tate grabbed Lee's slender ankles and began lapping away at her wet cunt. Lee moaned and writhed. She opened her eyes and grabbed Tate's hair. She glanced at Libby. This one's not really that funny. It's kind of just straight matter of fact. Libby sat in a recliner watching Tate eat Lee's pussy. She wore an enigmatic smile on her face. Libby bit her bottom lip and closed her eyes again. Tate tongued Lee's clitoris until she came. You made me come. That was so fast. It's never happened that soon, Lee said at the start. Tate slid a condom over his cock and began fucking Lee. You feel so good. So fucking good, Tate groaned. Lee wrapped her legs around Tate's hips. Tate pulled down the bodice of Lee's dress and stuck on her rosy nipples. Lee gyrated and moaned. I'm coming again. Oh, Tate, fuck me, fuck me. It's good. Oh, Lee, it's so good, baby. I'm coming. Yes. After sharing a hot shower with Tate, Libby led Lee to the front door. Thank you for sharing your husband with me, Lee said. Anytime, sweetness. Maybe next time my husband will share you with me. Would you like that? I'm pretty sure I would. I'll leave my husband at home. Please do. Her husband wasn't a popular character in the story. No one liked her husband, so she's going to just leave him at home. But I got $200 in PayPal, and I got contributor copies, and I wrote one about this gay couple, these two guys that go to a rodeo, and then after the rodeo, they hook up with the rodeo clown in his trailer. They have a threesome in his trailer. I wish I had that one. I don't know where that one is. And then this gay couple that after Sunday school, they drive out to the edge of town and have sex in the car.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? So,
did we lose Misty?
There? You there?
Hello?
Hello?
She's there.
You just got so quiet all of a sudden. It sounded like you just cut off. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Oh, shoot. Oh, okay, you guys are cracking me up. All right, how about we all take another little piss break here and listen to a little bit of... How about this, the honey badger? I'm sure you guys are all familiar with the cult of the honey badger, and it is my philosophy for life.
They kidnapped me.
The honey badger is a way of life. If you listen to this, you might get it. Sometimes, honey badger, he's a badass. He doesn't give a shit. You know, sometimes in life you just have to say, you know what, I don't give a shit, and I'm moving on and doing my own thing. So here, while we all take a little piss break, here is Honey Badger.
This is the Honey Badger. Watch it run in slow motion. It's pretty badass. Look, it runs all over the place. Whoa, watch out, says that bird. Ew, it's got a snake. Oh, it's chasing a jackal. Oh my gosh. Oh, the Honey Badgers are just crazy. The Honey Badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a shit. If it's hungry, it's hungry. Ew, what's that in its mouth? Oh, it's got a cobra. Oh, it runs backwards. Now watch this. Look, a snake's up in the tree. Honey badger don't care. Honey badger don't give a shit. It just takes what it wants. Whenever it's hungry, it just, ew, and it eats snakes. Oh my God, watch it dig. Look at that digging. The honey badger is really pretty badass. They have no regard for any other animal whatsoever. Look, and it's just grunting and ew, eating snakes. Ew, what's that, a mouse? Oh, that's nasty. Oh, they're so nasty. Oh, look, it's chasing things and eating them. The honey badgers have a fairly long body, but a distinctly thick set, broad shoulders, and, you know, their skin is loose, allowing them to move about freely, and they twist around. Now look, here's a house full of bees. You think the honey badger cares? It doesn't give a shit. It goes right into the house of bees to get some larva. How disgusting is that? It eats larva. Ew, that's so nasty. But look, the honey badger doesn't care. It's getting stung like 1,000 times. It doesn't give a shit. It's hungry. It doesn't care about being stung by bees. Nothing can stop the honey badger when it's hungry. Oh, what a crazy fuck. Look. Ew, it's eating larva. That's disgusting. There it is, running in slow motion again. See? Now, what's interesting is that other animals, like these birds here, they just like to wait around until the honey badger's done eating, and then it swoops in to pick up the scraps. It says, you do all the work for us, honey badger, and we'll just eat whatever you find. How's that? What do you say, stupid? Look at this bird. Thanks for the treat, stupid. Hey, come back here, says the honey badger. Birds don't care. And you know what? The jackals do it, too. Look at these little dogs. They're like, thanks, stupid. Thanks for the mouse. See you later. The honey badger does all the work while these other animals just pick up the scraps. At nighttime, the honey badger goes hunting because it's hungry. Look, here comes a fierce battle between a king cobra and a honey badger. I wonder what'll happen. Look at this. There's the honey badger just eating a mouse. And then look, get away from me, says the snake. Get away from me. Honey badger don't care. Honey badger smacks the shit out of it. And the snake comes back and it lashes right at the honey badger. Oh, little does the honey badger know, FYI, it's been stung. It's been bitten by the snake. So while it's eating the snake, ew, that's disgusting. Meanwhile, the poisonous venom is seeping through the honey badger's body and it passes out. Look at that sleepy fuck. Now the honey badger is just going to pass out for a few minutes. And then it's going to get right back up and start eating all over again because it's a hungry little bastard. Look at this. Like nothing happened. The honey badger gets right back up and continues eating the cobra. How disgusting. And of course, what does the honey badger have to eat for the next 2 weeks? Cobra. The honey badger.
So, yeah. That was... honey badger, ladies and gentlemen, a philosophy that I adhere to sincerely and truly believe, and I think it'll help you get through life and your everyday bullshit you have to deal with. It really is. It's a great philosophy and a great cult to join. So, yeah, please feel free to join the cult of the honey badger because I really think it'll help you get through
me.
What's that?
It kidnapped me. Mama Honey Badger came here herself.
Oh, shit. All right.
I knew I was at your place.
All right, so here we are. We're back after the Honey Badger excerpt there, intermission or whatever you want to call it, while I was peeing and laughing the whole time. Tonight's subject is open relationships, you know, polyamory. Polyamory, that's something, everyone acts like that's some sort of like, I don't know, algebraic term or something. You guys, polyamory, that's, okay, let's talk about that a little bit. That's, okay, just so, do you guys know what it is? I'm sure.
I think most poets are probably polyamorous. I've got this book that I love. It's in storage. I wish I had it. It's the Sex Lives of Famous People. It's got...
Mm-hmm.
writers, poets from, you know, years ago. It's got
uh-huh.
Emma St. Vincent Millay, and, you know, it's got actors. It's got Fatty Arbuckle. No, it doesn't have him in there. But it's got all these people. Anyway, nothing is really new, you know.
Right.
So most poets, I think most artists are polyamorous. I think that it's very rare that someone is just in love with one person all the time, consistently. You have affairs and maybe you don't meet the person, you don't hook up, you don't have sex, but you have fantasies and you have feelings for people. Now with the internet, I think it's even more ubiquitous.
It
has
very
been for
well,
me. It's been in my
very
life.
Very well
anyway.
Put. Very well put. You know, I could see that. I mean, yeah, there's the traditional definition, I guess, as you say, of polyamory, where you're actually in a relationship with the two or three different people, and it's all consensual. But you brought up a really interesting point there, Misty. With the advent of the internet or whatnot, I can see that. I can see people, you know, I think we're all kind of guilty to it to a certain degree. You talk to someone every day. You kind of develop a rapport and a relationship, even if you don't ever meet, like in the flesh or whatnot. But it's almost like, is like a relationship. It's almost like, you know, you can fall for someone in that sense, I think. And wow, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. Very interesting. Internet polyamory. I mean, I think you're just coming up with a whole new philosophy here or way of thinking. But yeah, on the same track. I mean, of course, that's not really exactly the same as, I guess, a physical relationship where, say, 3-4 people are living in the same house. And
polyamory, everybody is in it together.
Okay, wait a second. One at a time here. Okay.
Ezra Pound lived with his wife and his mistress for something insane, 10 years, maybe more than 10 years. His mistress actually took care of him when he was dying because his wife was unable to be a caretaker to him.
Right. Wow.
So that's one example that comes to mind where they actually lived together for a long time.
Yeah, I think that whole dynamic, it changes things more radically than, say, just an internet type of relationship. But, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's what I thought with polyamory. Everybody's involved. It's, you know, everybody knows about it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You're right. You're right, Michael.
That's what I thought. You know, it is.
And, it's more of that. Yeah, it's more of a, everyone knows and everyone's involved consensual thing. But, so I guess maybe, you know, I was a little quick on the trigger there to think that, well, there might be relationships like that too, though. People who know that, hey, this person digs this person and they're, you know, they're cool online or whatnot, but, you know, not necessarily in the flesh or whatnot. You know what I mean?
Well, my ex-wife used to always accuse me of having emotional affairs with people online.
Affairs.
Well,
here we go. See, we're getting into some meaty and interesting subject matter here. Elaborate on that. Did that have an adverse effect on your relationship with your wife? Or, I mean, what?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, what prompted that?
I would sit and I would have, you know, in-depth conversations, and especially if it was with other women, she would accuse me of having an emotional affair. And
how would she find out you were having these conversations with other women? Would she spy?
I didn't feel I was doing anything wrong.
Right.
I wasn't
like
sending pictures of, you know, I wasn't sending the you know, stereotypical phone penis picture to people.
I think they call that sexting now. They call it sexting, the young kids.
I was just, you know, having a conversation, so I wouldn't lie or hide anything because I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. But she did.
You admitted to her that you're having these in-depth conversations with other women online?
I viewed it as, you know, everyone's an individual and you take different things from different people. You know, I can talk to one person about sports and another person about politics and another person about role-playing, you know, so.
Hey, that sounds like me all rolled into one, man. Hey, let's have an affair.
Yeah,
but
seriously. You know?
No, but seriously, this is some good stuff here, man. This is what I was trying to get at, you know, how these different types of relationships and stuff have an effect. They have an effect on our relationship, you know, these different types of encounters or mindsets or whatnot. They definitely have an impact on us and our personal relationships, be it married or just, you know, boyfriend-girlfriend or boyfriend-boyfriend or girlfriend-girlfriend or whatever it is you're into. And what you're describing to me right now is what I've kind of like trying to get to all night here, and this is interesting stuff, man. This is compelling stuff to me. I'd like to hear other people's perspective on these things affect them.
She was nutty anyway. She was nutty from the get-go, so you can't go by her standards. So,
I'm not going by anyone's standards. I'm just curious to hear other people's stories. And
when her and I first started dating, I asked her. I said, "So, what are we?" And she says, "We are nothing. So if you're asking me if you can put your dick somewhere, you can put your dick in whoever or wherever you want." Well, of course, she almost killed me when she found out I was still sleeping with my ex-girlfriend. So she was nutty.
Oh,
she, you know, she's screwy. That was an open relationship. We were dating. And, so you can't go by her.
So you have been in an open relationship then? Or it was an alleged open relationship.
She said it was okay, but it really wasn't, so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, she, you know.
Interesting.
You know, so that's.
Okay, so, I mean, this is your ex. Who is this? Is it your ex-girlfriend or an ex-wife?
Oh, this is my ex-wife. It's my ex-wife.
Okay, okay. So she said you guys are in an open relationship.
Yes, at the beginning. Yes, absolutely.
At the beginning.
But heard it. You know,
okay. Okay.
Nothing
so
nothing but cause problems. I mean, 5 years later, when you're still catching crap for it, you know, it did nothing but cause problems for me.
Really? Okay. Well, here's the thing. Who initiated this whole like we're in an open relationship scenario? Was it you or she or was it consensual? And what even sparked it in the first place? How long had you guys been together? Had you guys actually been married all that time?
No. We'd been dating about six, 7 months, and
okay.
I wanted
Ooh,
to know
okay.
what our status was, and I
uh-huh.
asked her, I said, so what are we, you know, and she said, well, we're just dating, you know, we can see other people and all this stuff, so it was kind of that courting stage where,
okay.
and it wasn't what she said it was.
Okay, and then you said this was, okay, within 6 months of dating?
Yes, 6, 7 months we had been together, yes, absolutely.
Together as married or just dating?
No, just dating. We weren't
okay,
married
okay.
yet. No,
all right, and then so this somehow came, I mean, you guys eventually got married, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so when did this become, like, an issue? I mean, were you guys still, like, in that same mindset after you got married, or...
Oh,
or
no, it was always thrown, it was thrown out into my face every now and then whenever, you know, she needed to make me feel like shit, you know.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay, I get it. So this became fodder for her every time she felt resentful or mad or hurt or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, I see.
So
okay.
the open relationship, it really hasn't done me any good.
Okay.
So, well, yeah. But I know it works for some people, but I think every couple is different.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You guys only been together for 6 months, and she says this, and then she later on brings it up and throws it in your face. I think, you know, to say and state you're in an open relationship after 6 months of dating, I don't see that. If unless you guys were, like, completely 100% secure in your bond or your relationship or whatnot, I don't see, you know, that working. I see it being destructive.
It was very destructive. Well, I think the biggest problem was I was still, you know, with people I knew, ex-girlfriend and stuff like that. I said, well, would you rather have me pick up some trash in a bar? I mean, you know, at least it's someone I know is clean. But,
right.
but it didn't bode very well for me. It didn't bode very well for me. But I think every relationship is different. You know, swinging, you know, it works for some people. I don't know if it could work for me. I don't know if I could see the woman I love being mounted by some 6'8" hairy dude or something, you know.
Well, does she like 6 foot? 6'8" hairy dude in the first fucking place?
Who knows? I'm just saying. I don't.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
I would probably have issues, you know. I mean, I would have nightmares of the dimples in his ass.
Right.
You know?
See, that's, I mean, you presented such a grotesque image there right off the bat. you threw me off there, buddy.
Like,
but,
Okay, some young shaved surfer dude. Is that better?
you wouldn't find that kind of. What's that?
He wears skinny jeans, emo-like, you know?
That's almost just as bad. I don't know which is worse.
I really want to know, with the skinny jeans, where do they put their junk, man?
I don't know. Maybe they don't have any junk in the first place.
I went to buy jeans for the first time in ages, and I tried them out, and skinny jeans, no good.
So anyhow, you've created a good segue here, or I should say a way to move forward here, because that you bring up a good point. You know, when it comes to swinging or relationships or whatnot, being comfortable with your partner so much as to being able to watch them or have like intercourse and mount or have sex with someone else.
Not saying there's anything wrong with it, but for me, it'd be a very hard thing watching my partner.
Uh-huh.
Involved with someone else. It would be very hard for me.
Even if you were, like, involved to a certain degree, like, you know, it would disturb you still?
It would still be a little difficult, but, I mean, you know, maybe because I've never been in that particular situation, you know, where someone I love is, you know, but at this point I would say, yeah, it'd be very difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, yeah, it like you mentioned, it varies, I think, from, you know, one relationship to the next. And I think you have to be very secure in the relationship initially. I mean, that, I think, is very important because, you know, I've, you know, been in a relationship where swinging was involved. And we built up to it through role play, et cetera, whatever, and talking and being open. And you know, eventually got to the point where it's like, you know what, let's just, you know, screw it. We're young. We have no responsibilities right now. Let's just go try this shit. And we did. And, you know, it turned out to be very, very, very gratifying, I'd have to say, and very exciting. And it added a whole new spice and a whole new flavor to everything. And, here in Dayton, I don't know so much now, but about 10 years ago, it was like a swinging mecca. I'm not even joking. Dayton, Ohio. No, it's really Dayton, Ohio. There was literally from...
What's the sex shop in Dayton, Ohio?
Right. There's one on like every fucking corner, isn't there, Grover?
Yeah, there is.
There is.
Yeah.
Grover's been here. He knows. But... the sex shops was one thing, but the swing clubs, there was at least, I'd say three, maybe about 10 years ago, three, maybe four of them, all within like a 10, not even a 10 mile, probably I'd say like 7 to 8 mile radius of our apartment we lived in at the time. And it was crazy. And you would go on these little websites like Adult Friend Finder or whatnot or swinglifestyle.com, and you could easily communicate with these people, see their profiles, talk to them, you get comfortable, say, okay, hey, yeah, let's meet up at the swing club. And, you know, you would. And these swing clubs were crazy. Have you ever seen the movies Eyes Wide Shut? Or Eyes Wide Open,
Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick.
Well, there were some incidents where at these clubs it was just like that.
Like,
it was weird, wild, orgies
like
going on, and just... What's that?
That was like Freemason shit, though, wasn't it?
That was like what?
Freemason shit. Freemason.
Oh, Freemason. I'm just referring to the wild, crazy orgy scenes and stuff.
Now, was there ever a case, Ryan, in the mix of that where the people weren't who they said they were?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Oh, yeah. And that's why
you
had to be careful.
You show up and it's, you know.
Yeah. That's why you had to be careful and meet them at a neutral site, which would be, you know, preferably a swing club. Because you don't want to, like, go out on a date. You go, there's been incidents where, I have to admit, where you're like, yo, yeah, these guys seem cool, and their pictures look great, and they seem really funny and hot, and let's go hang out with them. They might be good friends, and we can have fun, wild orgy sex. And, you know, you go hang out with them at the at a local restaurant and you meet them, it's like, holy shit, what have we gotten ourselves into? And they're going to expect something, or they're going to, you know, have expectations, thinking we're going to, like, just, you know, hook up and go brown chicken, brown cow with them. It's like, fuck that.
What,
no, that's
what
a...
was it?
So
what,
you learn. You live,
you know,
and you learn.
Were the pictures like old pictures, or were they not as funny, as charismatic as they seem to be? I mean, what was the problem? I mean, when you meet them, what was the problem? You know,
I think they might have been old Polaroids that they stand on today.
Oh, shit.
No, but seriously, it was like about a decade ago here in the day. I mean, it's like a whole culture. I don't know what it's like now, but back in the day, it was like a whole entire culture. I mean, it was crazy. You had like at least three of them within, like I said, a 7 to 8 mile radius of our apartment, downtown Dayton, when we lived downtown Dayton years ago. And then there was like some up in Columbus, Ohio, and it was just like Ohio. I don't know why. And then, you know, what's funny is we moved out to San Francisco, and you would think San Francisco, oh, yeah, you know, that's, you know.
Power exchange.
What's that?
I've never been there, but I've heard about the power exchange in San Francisco.
Yeah, you go out there, you would think, oh, this is going to be the Mecca. If Dayton, Ohio, is this happening and hopping in this whole scene, you would think San Francisco would be tenfold. And get out there, and it was like, ooh, not so great. Not so great at all. And I do recall going to a swing class, and, you know, I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it at this point, but all it was like a big giant S&M dungeon with a dance floor upstairs and
the bondage
and, you know,
go-go. The bondage of go-go.
I can't remember. I for the life of me cannot remember the name of it, but it was very disappointing. And we were like, really? Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you weren't allowed to drink in there. You couldn't drink, you know. If you're in a situation like
that. That sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have alcohol and hands.
Yeah.
And in a situation like that, I would think you would need the alcohol.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're going to engage in something a little risque like that and a little different, you know. You definitely need to be slightly inebriated or at least buzzing. Absolutely.
Seriously. I mean, If you know, Fonzie's going to mount my old lady, I want to be drunk. I mean, Jesus.
Henry Winkler, he's a good-looking guy,
Fonzie.
Even in his old age. You know that? God damn it, I had no problem. But,
I'm just the Fonz.
I was always more into Posse myself.
Posse? I was always, I was always partial to Joni. Not really. I like Marianne, the mother, the best. I mean, you know, redheads, you know. Who can resist a redhead? Especially with, you know, 60s beehive there, 50s beehive. So.
Oh, the beehive. You got to love the beehive.
All right. But anyhow, wow, this is, been pretty exciting and informative here. So let's take a little break here. We'll listen to some nice, pretty song here about being an
Pussy
alcoholic.
Riot.
No, Pussy Riot. Oh yeah, that's it. You know what? We'll get on to some current events here. We got some. Yeah, whatever happened to Pussy Riot? You know,
I have an update. I actually researched it after the
Did
break.
You? All right, excellent. All right, well, let's take a little break here. Listen to some pretty music about being an alcoholic. And we'll come right back. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're back here.
Hello?
Hello. All right, we're back here. Tonight's subject has been open relationships, polyamory, swinging, creative role play in the bedroom, and, you know, are these healthy solutions for spicing up a marriage or relationship or potential seeds of destruction? We've heard both sides, I think, at this point, and I think maybe we're ready to move on to some of the current events going on here. Mr. Gasinski, you said you did some research.
Yes, on Pussy Riot.
Pussy Riot,
yes.
We need to follow up on them because they were like a media.
They were given 2 years, you know, in Russia for their crimes against humanity or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Against humanity.
they're being transferred from the Moscow prison to a penal colony, you know. Several miles away, who knows where, and they're pleading with the government not to transfer them. They want to serve their term in Moscow because more than 2,000 prisoners have died en route to Russian penal colonies in the last 6 months. So,
really?
Yes. It's
wow.
And you know, they're kind of in a pickle right now because they have a lot of respect of the prisoners because of what they did, but by asking for favors, they're probably going to get killed because they're going to lose respect. The quickest way to get killed in Russian prisons, I guess, is to beg for favors and plead for help.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's really a weird situation. You know, a couple of the Seattle newspapers had stories about them, the Daily Beast and some other paper, and I was reading about it. So they're in a tight spot.
That's an excellent update.
That's an excellent update,
Mr. Michael Gasinski. I appreciate that. Because, you know, for a while there, for several weeks, they were like the media darling. You know, they were instant pop stars. And, you know, I questioned their motive.
Media's got a short attention span.
What's that? Oh, yeah, the media has
absolutely.
Very short attention span, and that was kind of my point.
But we've got to keep in mind the media is about making money. That's all it's about. It wants to make as much money as possible, the news channels and all that. So, you know, they're only going to cover things as long as, you know, they're exciting and new.
Yeah, that's true.
I saw an interesting piece in the Huffington Post by Ted Koppel and how he thinks that, you know, having like an MSNBC and a Fox News has really hurt the media because you have extremes on both sides,
uh-huh.
whereas in the old days, journalism was pretty straightforward, and mm-hmm. it was a really good piece. I think it was in the Huffington Post, Ted Koppel.
Huffington Post, you know.
Yeah, well, you know,
the stuff they publish is a little slanted, but very amusing.
Right,
and
but the story really jumped out to me because he was attacking both sides. He was, you know, MSNBC and Fox News. I'm sorry, Fox News.
Fox News. You know, was that like a Freudian slip, or was that?
Yeah,
was that intentional?
Who knows? Who knows? But so I liked his piece because he's an old journalist and he was
talking
about how the art has just been drugged through the mud by both sides. So
yeah,
it was a good story. So, but anyway, back to current events.
That was excellent because, you know, on our last show, we were talking about Pussy Riot, and, you know, I was skeptical as, you know, what their motivation was, because it became like this instant, like, pop sensation, and that's all the media and everybody was talking about for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, boom, disappeared, gone. You didn't hear another thing about them, and I guess that, to me, was more of an indication of I don't know, how our society and how the media portrays things and how easily our culture and society, not even just here in the United States, but internationally, can be influenced by the media. And to me, I guess, I think we need to be more aware of what the media is doing and what their motivations are. I hate politics. I'm not a political person, but at the same time, you have to be aware of what the media is doing and why. You know, I think my thing is I question why. Why was that such a big deal? Now they're nothing. They're gone. You don't hear another word about them.
Well, you know, and for me, like I said, you know, I view them as a business trying to make a profit.
Uh-huh.
So, when I talk to a few of my friends who have worked for newspapers, that's mm-hmm. ultimately what they point to. It's a profitable thing.
Right.
What will make money?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I can understand that. I can understand that, I guess, to a certain degree, especially with print newspapers. I mean, they're going to become extinct. But I guess we're getting way off subject here. But
Yeah, I know. Well, we were covering current events. You know.
Yeah, right, exactly. Misty, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, I know you mentioned something about the Suicide Girls the other day to me.
The what? I'm sorry.
You mentioned something about the Suicide Girls the other day to me. Do you have something? Some current events regarding the
Suicide Girl Theater?
Yeah.
No, I have no memory of that. How weird. The Suicide Girl Theater.
You must have been fucked up.
I don't even know what that is, the Suicide Girl Theater.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, skip onward. Maybe I was fucked up. Maybe it wasn't you so much. Or maybe it was a combination of both.
So how about Brian? How about the bonehead story of the day I sent you? The popcorn lung.
Yeah, elaborate on that. That you know, the whole microwave popcorn thing. People.
Yeah, I was baffled. You know, this guy he got awarded what was it, $7.2 million, because he has what's called popcorn lung. A condition caused by the artificial butter in microwave popcorn has hurt his respiratory system.
Oh, my fucking God.
I know. That's all like start like huffing
popcorn. $2 million.
That totally blows my mind. When you mentioned that to me earlier today, I was just like, my jaw literally just dropped.
Yeah,
like, well, really? Let's all start
story,
huffing microwave popcorn together, guys, so we can
CNN,
like...
I've got to find a scam like that. My great-grandmother told me years ago, she said, what you need to do is you go in a grocery store, you see a wet floor, you slip on it, and sue the store for all the water.
It's pretty much the same concept. So you know what? Let's all make a pact right now, all of us co-hosts here, and start huffing microwave popcorn excessively and see if we can't you know, make a few million dollars and think of, you know, the small press. We could, we don't want to be a small press. We could all like
sold Cracker Jacks years ago because they got a Cracker Jack box and there wasn't a prize in there. I don't know how much they were awarded, but they took that shit to court.
I wonder, maybe we can get money by suing Cracker Jacks if we choke on the prize.
That's it. Let's set it up, and we need to videotape it.
And
post it on YouTube.
Well, there's no disclaimer. There's no warning. You cannot insert the prize up your ass. I didn't know. Let's look at my ass now. I've got a Cracker Jack prize up my fucking ass.
That's it. I'm going to get the Cracker Jacks, and I'm going to document myself inserting one of the prizes up my asshole and make it go viral, and then I'm going to sue because I have to go to the hospital, the emergency room, and I'm going to say I'm suing for trauma. You know, it was traumatic. I had to go to the, you know, the emergency room and have this, magnifying glass. Yeah, I remember getting magnifying glasses all the time, little phony magnifying glasses.
Yes, I remember those.
Yeah, in Cracker Jack boxes. And, I inserted those into my asshole. I thought it was a suppository. Please, doctor in the emergency room, please remove this from my asshole. This is so traumatic. I'm so, you know, I want $5.2 million now.
At least you guys got magnifying glasses. All I got was a little bullshit, like, baseball cards. I get a paper
card.
Is that in my shit?
Son of a bitch. I collect baseball and football cards. I would kill for that, you know. Screw the magnifying glasses.
I got
glasses.
These little douchey. Yeah, no, I got you know, baseball cards. I got fake tattoos. You know, that was it.
And did you insert them up your ass?
No. I get a paper cut, man. If I stuck one of them up there,
cut.
No way. It's one thing to have an obstruction, but man, I don't want a paper cut. That hurts.
You don't want a paper cut on your anus, huh? Speaking of anus,
like I said, an obstruction's one thing, you know, but, you know, we didn't cover that, anal sex in a marriage. See, that's another thing along with
Great segue. In a marriage or a relationship, I'm sure we've all tried it, right?
Relationship, yeah. Yeah,
what about the anal sex, you know? I went good with this guy, and I got a bottle of the Astra Glide, you know, thinking, okay, later we're going to get in the hot tub and we're going to try this thing. He's going to bust that ass cherry. Well, he couldn't perform. He was too drunk to perform, so it didn't happen. That's the closest I ever come to anal sex. Was actually
really?
On the Astra Glide in the grocery store, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh. All right, what about you, Mr. Michael G.?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's which one, Grover or me?
Grover. Yeah, Grover. Go ahead. We haven't heard from you. You've been quiet, buddy. You're not passing out.
He's
see?
Stoned.
See right now, if there was a webcam.
No, the dog is not performing fellatio.
Ain't no fellatio.
If there was a webcam right now, and Mr.
Top salad.
Top salad. Fellatio. Is that what?
See, if there was a
an
webcam
Oreo,
right now.
An Oreo cookie without the filling? What the?
If there was a webcam right now in Mr. Grover's room, I think we would see him laying there, sitting up, with an inflatable dolphin in his crotch once again. but seriously,
Mr.
Grover. Seriously, Mr. Grover, what's your take on anal sex? Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
With a woman? Yeah?
Yes, with a woman, yes.
I like how you...
just wanted to clarify that.
You clarified there, buddy. So, and how was it? Was it successful? Was it gratifying?
Yeah,
it was gratifying. Did you have to use a lubricant or?
No.
Did you go all natural?
Get in my asshole.
Oh shit, we're getting goofy. All right,
Did you have a fudgesicle afterwards, or did you come out clean? That tells a lot about a woman right there.
Came out clean.
Oh, see, that's good woman right there. Good woman.
That is a good one.
Wow. Yeah, if you pull out and you got chunks of corn or a fudgesicle, you got problems.
Oh, right, right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, wow. Yeah, absolutely. She must do the anal douche, whoever this chick was. But wow. Well, that's excellent. So, yeah, I've tried it before, too.
And how was it for you, sir?
Well, you know,
did it come out clean?
Actually, it did. Yeah. Good. Yay, good for me. definitely had to pry the whole thing with a little extra, lubricant. But because it's, you know, that's just not natural to penetrate the anus. But it was successful. It feels different. It definitely feels different from the typical vagina. The whole dimensions of it and the tightness and you know, everything. It just the funny thing about it that I remember most is as you're penetrating the anus, half the time, if you're not really paying attention to what you're doing, it feels like you're getting shit right out. It seems like the muscles or whatever in the anus, it's like they're, I don't want to say instinct. I don't know if muscles have instinct. That's not the word I'm really looking for. But or memory to push out. So it's like if you just slow down for a second and not paying attention to what you're doing, you know, and your eyes are too much on the porn on the TV set as you're penetrating the asshole, all of a sudden it feels like you're being shit out. literally, you can feel your penis being shit out. But, yeah, it's definitely a different sensation, I think.
I got shat out. Is that like the past tense?
Shat out. Thank you for the grammatical correction there. but yeah, all right. So I guess we've all, at some point or another, have tried that. Let me put it this way. Mr. Grover, have you ever had your anus penetrated by a girl's finger or pinky? I know Michael Gasinski has, and he didn't it.
Absolutely.
Yes. No, Grover, have you ever?
Give me nightmares. No. Sorry, go ahead, Grover.
I'm some guy.
All right, please elaborate. This is too
weird.
Good.
It was weird. It goes back to the whole swinging thing. When I was living in LA, I lived in this apartment full of Mexicans. So there's this guy, this Mexican guy, comes over to my place, and he had a really hot wife. He, he's just hanging out at my place. He's just like, hey, turn on the computer. So I turn on the computer and he's like, can you find some porn on there? And he starts grabbing at my dick and stuff. I'm like, yo, get out of here.
Seriously.
And then he said, well, do you like my wife? Just like, what are you talking about? He's like, you can have her if you want her. He's like, she likes you.
Holy shit. This is a great story,
what?
Grover.
what? He's like, yeah, but if you're going to be with her, though, she'll want to see the both of us together.
Really? So he was trying to con you into the whole, bisexual encounter there so you could get a piece of her ass, huh?
I was just that's not going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, no, I'll go ask her right now. So I got a mask and I ran and locked the door.
Wow. Man, that is a great story. Yeah, I have to admit, I've had some bizarre encounters pretty similar to that where, their motivations that the people you were hanging out with or swinging with were a little suspect and... Yeah, wow. Man, that's wild, Grover. I like that story. That's a great one. So, ultimately, did you get your anus penetrated?
No.
Okay.
And I like came back and I was knocking on my door. I'm just like, go away.
Oh,
like,
shoot.
I need somebody to help me hook up my DVD player. Come to my apartment.
Oh,
I don't need to hook.
That's great, man. That's a great story. I like that. Not that I'm aroused by it or anything, but it was a good story. Wow. So, all right, guys, let's take one more break here, and then we'll wrap this thing up here in a few minutes. It's been a lot of fun. Great show. Maybe we'll touch upon a couple more current events here, because I know there's something really bizarre I heard about today about Jesus having a wife, which I thought was just way out there and weird. At the same time, I thought it fit right in here with this whole subject matter. You know, Jesus had a wife, yet he was hanging out with Mary Magdalene, or was Mary Magdalene his wife? Mary Magdalene was supposedly a whore, so who knows? All right, we're going to take a quick break here and giggle and pee and stuff, and we'll be right back. right. We're back. Yeah, hey, all right. So we're going to wrap this show up here. Just do a little quick recap here. We've been talking all about open relationships, polyamory, swinging, and everything that all this might entail as far as relationships go. Can it be a good thing, a bad thing? And we've had some really fun discussions here, and we've been discussing current events here, and I think one of the latest things we're going to talk about here is about Jesus having a wife. I came across this article earlier today, and it baffled me. It's like, really? There's proof that Jesus had a wife, and he was married. What was marriage like back then? And you know, if Jesus had a wife, then what was he do? You know, what was he doing fucking around with Mary Magdalene, or was supposedly or allegedly Mary Magdalene his wife? Who knows? I don't know. I find religion in every aspect very fascinating, because it has been the spark for so many debates and wars or whatnot and disputes, and it's still going on to this day, you know, with the whole Muslim and Al-Qaeda, Christian and things on it. But, anyone else? Have you heard about this whole Jesus has a wife thing?
I read the article at Yahoo. It didn't seem very conclusive. They just found a scrap of paper, and it said, Jesus said to his wife, or whatever, and then it was cut off. And so when something is not very conclusive, I tend to dismiss it outright.
Right. And you know, Go ahead, Ed. That's true, too. It's like, that's the funny thing about the internet, and especially like Yahoo articles. Yahoo articles are probably some of the worst to refer to, because they seem so poorly written and it's not real journalism. It's not anymore. But you know what? This is the direction we're headed in with journalism, as far as because of the internet and the advent of it, and the short attention span everyone has, as we mentioned earlier. But I saw that. You know, the whole thing is like my wife. The following line states she will be able to be my disciple. Okay, you know what that means. You know.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting that the whole thing was written in Coptic. Are you guys familiar with Coptic?
Yes. I'm not.
Early Christians in Egypt. And the only reason I became even familiar with the whole Coptic language and everything and religion is because of that the whole anti-Muslim film. Are you guys familiar with that? The whole anti-Muslim film that has come out? The one that allegedly sparked all the riots going on in the Middle East,
yes.
and got that ambassador killed in Libya.
CIA made that movie.
What's that?
The CIA made that movie.
You think so? Oh, here we go. We got the
conspiracy.
We got Mr. Political conspiracy theory artist. I'd like to hear your elaboration on that, Mr. Grover. Let's hear it.
Well, it's strange. I saw an interview with one of the actresses from the movie, and she said every time Muhammad was mentioned in the movie, his name wasn't Muhammad, it was George. They just every time they said George, they dubbed over the movie and said Muhammad instead.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's really fishy.
Hmm. Well, why do you think
the actors who were involved say they were duped, that what they did was not what came out. Yeah, it's almost every person who's been involved with it has said.
Wow. Man, I couldn't imagine what that would feel like or be like, especially with all the the chaos and the riots and the death that this film has sparked. That's pretty crazy. So do you guys really believe that? I mean, Grover, do you really believe the CIA made this film, and they're pegging this what's his name, Basile, or
why not? They're benefiting from who's benefiting from it? I mean, this chaos is scaring the hell out of the American people, and they're all staying inside and keeping their TVs on, and watching the news or whatever.
Yeah, that's all I've done for the last week is I haven't left the house in a week ever since this.
you've been locked up in front of TV.
Since films been released, I've been sitting in my house like, God damn, anti-Muslim films, I'm scared. What the hell? No, seriously, though.
I spent many years in the Detroit metro area, and Dearborn, Michigan, and Hamtramck, Michigan are full of Muslim people.
Right, it's pretty much a Muslim, whole Muslim society there, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it's the highest populated Muslim community per capita outside of the Middle East. And those people are nothing like what you're seeing on TV.
Right,
those people are the nicest, most caring, loving fucking people.
Uh-huh.
They welcome you into their homes. So for me, I see this stuff on TV, and I don't buy into the hype. I don't,
Well, the media's always got an agenda. If the media finds something that's that important to report on, then you know something's up. I mean, I've seen the media.
I lived there, when we went into Iraq and we tore down the statue of Saddam Hussein, and the people I knew in Dearborn and stuff, the Iraqis said that the people shown on the American news celebrating were not Iraqis. That wasn't Iraq. That it was staged. So, they said that the people that you're looking at were not Iraqis, that they were Saudis and Israelis. So
really?
I don't know what to... Yeah, I don't know what to believe, but I do know that I think our media capital, like Grover says, our media capitalizes a lot on the hype and keeping people
scared. Right. Just like Pussy Riot, yeah.
Pussy
Riot scared the shit out of me.
Hell, thank you. Pussy Riot, awesome. But, and Jesus had a wife, so.
Jesus had a wife and a whore. did I just say that?
You know what? If you're looking for a woman and you want to get laid, why not pick a whore? I mean, she gives it up.
That's precisely. You want a good woman who's willing to experiment, just like tonight's whole theme. A woman who's willing to experiment in the bedroom, role play, maybe swing a little, be involved in a little polyamory. Why the hell not? Right? It keeps things interesting and fun. But you know what? This has been a great show, guys. I tell you what, this has been a lot of fun, and you guys have really all opened up, and I appreciate you guys coming on here and trusting me with my, everybody knows I'm, full of shit, but you guys came on here, and you opened up, and you talked explicitly, and you trusted me, and
you talked explicitly, too, so.
I just appreciate you guys came on. All the co-host and Mr. Grover to come on last second. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael Grover, coming on for second. And
thanks
thank you, Misty.
Me.
Thank you, Mr. Gosinski, my co-host. It's always a fun show. It always feels like to me a slumber party when we all hang out and do this because we're all getting inebriated and stuff like that and just bullshitting and I think we're discussing some valid things, and it's a lot of fun.
I've had a slumber party at your house before.
What's that?
I've been in a slumber party at your house before.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, Mr. Grover. Grover's been a whole weekend at my house getting drunk with me all weekend and being exploited. We had a blast. It was a fun weekend. I wish all of you could have been here. But this has been a great show. Very informative, I think, to a certain degree. And, I appreciate you guys coming on and trusting me and being open. It's been a lot of fun. And hopefully in a couple of weeks we can do this again. I've gotten some queries from some people I won't mention yet. But, the next show should be really cool and a lot of fun. And so we got about a minute left here. Let's just. What should we go out with, guys? Should we go out with? Should go out with pictures of your dick again, just like we start off with Rachel Bloom. I have such a crush on
Rachel
this woman.
Rachel Bloom, love her.
Rachel Bloom, she's such a great comedian, and she's actually a good singer. And you know what? She's pretty darn hot. Thank you again, everybody. Thank you. 90 seconds. I just got the 90-second warning from the Blog Talk Radio woman. She's gone. 8 seconds. Isn't it funny how the Blog Talk woman sounds English? Why do you think she sounds English? Who knows? Thank you, Misty Rainwater Lights, for being here. Thank you, Michael DeKosinski. And thank you to our special guest host here tonight, Mr. Michael Grover. It's been a great show, and we're going to fade out with good old Pictures of Your Dick by Rachel Bloom. Good night, everybody.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Baby, when you left me for another girl, you know you broke my heart and shattered my whole world. We had a love I thought was true. Can't you see, baby, I'm lost without you? 'Cause all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your dick on the internet. All I can do is sit and cry. Now all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your tiny dick on the internet. All I can do is sit and cry. All I can do is cry. The house is so empty since you've gone away. But last night I found the text you wore on Valentine's Day. I hugged it tight, it smelled like you. Then I photoshopped the text onto a picture of your dick. 'Cause all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your fancy dick on the internet. All I can do is sit and cry. Now all I can do is lay around and add a speech bubble that says cheerio, I'm Kim's tiny dick all the way to a party. Bip, bip. All I can do is sit and cry. All I can do is, I saw you on the street the other day. I smiled and said, hey Tim, you look good. And he said, stop posting pictures of my dick on the internet, you crazy person. I will sue you for invasion of privacy, you fucking insane bitch. Now all I can do is lay around and post pictures of your dick around your neighborhood like it's a lost puppy. All I can do